gather unto you, and so our eyes are on you. I ask for fresh mercy. Help me in particular, so that, Lord, throughout this time of ministration, my eyes will be on you. Lord, you grant me fresh mercy and unction to speak as an oracle of God, that your word will come forth out of me, not because of my preparation, but in spite of it, Lord, because of your mercy, so that, Lord, your word will come with power, with clarity, in simplicity, and in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, that it will do an eternal work, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation knowledge from you, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. So as we leave this place, Lord, there'll be determination to be doers of the things that we learn, and not hearers only, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for strength that comes to our feet and to our ankle bones, lifting up the hands that hang down, so that, Lord, the capacity and the capability to do will be also be imparted unto us in Jesus' name. As your word goes forth, Lord, let yokes be broken. Let heavy burdens be undone. Let, Lord, the oppressed go free. Break every yoke under the covering of our fathers in the name of Jesus. And Lord, help us, Lord, to go forth, Lord, walking and leaping and praising God, pressing deeper into the things of you in the name of Jesus. I ask for mercy. Help me to be faithful to redeem the time, concise and precise, not saying unnecessary things, Lord, so that, Lord God, I will bring forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old, glorifying you, Lord God, in everything that we do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brethren, it's a privilege for me once again to stand in the presence of God and his people to share the word of God. And I once want to honor my parents, Pastor and Mommy, for the trust, you know, entrusting, in spite of all our infirmities, to entrust us to be able to share something as grave and as important as the word of God. And I ask for mercy, you know, so that that trust will not be abused, and that more importantly, that trust, they will see the travail of their soul, and they will be satisfied that they have entrusted such a responsibility to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I also pray that as the word goes forth, it will bring refreshing to them and unto you, my brethren, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, Mommy. This evening, I'm not saying anything new. There's a message that Pastor preached a while ago. Joseph had no Bible. And as I was preparing, God referred me back to that message. So there's a lot I'll be sharing from that message. But it's entitled Knowing Who We Are. It's important to know who we are, so that we're not trying to be like the world. And we can really be a witness to the world. You know, many times you find out that as children of God, many times we do things the world's way. Even David, as the beloved of God, you know, brought in the ark of God on a new cart, the way the world does it. So it's important for us to know who we are. Because once we know who we are, that means we can't do it the way they do it. Even if we have colleagues in the office, and there are things at stake, and there's the way that people do their thing, you know your own way is different right from the get-go. If you're a student, you know your own way is different right from the get-go. You know, when everybody's doing what they're doing, you know that you can't do what they're doing, because, you know, you're not of the same stock, and your destination is not the same. And so the way you take cannot be the same. If you're going to Abuja, there's a way you take. You cannot go back in this direction towards Lagos and tell us you're going to Abuja. It's not possible, except you have something else in mind. So the direction, it tells us that you know who you are and you know where you are going. That's the essence of this message, by the mercy and the grace of God. Now, going to, very quickly, pray for me. I'm using my phone today. Hey, Lord, have mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so going straight into it, you know, Pastor taught us that there are three stages in our lives, using Moses as a type. And that means there's a stage of preparation. Everybody say preparation. Then there's a stage of revelation. Say revelation. And there's a stage of manifestation. Let's say manifestation. Amen. So we have three stages: preparation, revelation, and manifestation. And very quickly, what are they? Because I think it's fundamental to understand to what we're talking about. Because we all go through this. Preparation is the stage in which we receive a secular education, the training of our minds, and we work to equip ourselves with skills. So in preparation, God gives you knowledge and skills. You know, we're learning, and we need to learn. And we're using Moses as a type. You know, Bible says that Moses was learned in all the ways of the Egyptians. He was mighty in word and deed. And that's what you do when you get to primary school, secondary school, university, first degree, second degree, postgraduate. There are multiple levels of postgraduate, if you know what I mean. You know, depending on where you're going. If one have a DSC, there's a way you go. You know, it doesn't stop. But all that, brother, sister, is preparation. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I think it's important. That's not who you are. That's what you do. You're not... What you do many times in the world, say, oh, who is he? Oh, he's an ophthalmologist. No, he does ophthalmology. He does obstetrics and gynecology. She is a public health specialist. That's not who she is. That's what she does. And many people live and die in preparation. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. We must move to the next stage. Next stage is the stage of revelation. Amen. Now, in that revelation, God begins to shine divine light into our hearts so we can begin to grow spiritually. We call that having a spiritual education. So the same way we had a secular education, God wants us to have a spiritual education. And now the spiritual education is not less important. Many times people treat the spiritual education as if what's going to be is going to be. Really? First class is going to be, so it's going to be. That's how it is. You matriculate in university and you say, I desire first class, and that's how it's going to be. Does it work like that, sir? Prof works in university. It doesn't work like that. You sit in the lecture, you don't bring any notes. You don't take any notes. It's only what the man has said that day. I understand what he was saying. Yes. After, you are having thousands of lectures. Maybe that's an exaggeration. But if you get to postgraduate, you're talking about thousands. But if you decide to say undergraduate, you're having hundreds of lectures. How can you remember which one from the different one? So that's how we come to church. We don't take notes. We listen to something on the internet. We don't take notes. We don't write it down. How on earth can you remember? It is school. Church is school, and school is church. Church is spiritual school. So it's important that what you do for secular school, you do no less for spiritual school. In fact, spiritual school must be the standard for secular school. Amen. But that's what we do. That's what we call a spiritual education. Very quickly, let's look at what put scripture behind it. Look at Acts 7, 20-22. You really need to move very quickly with me today. I'm trusting God for the speed of light on your side and on my side. Amen. All right. So Acts 7, 20-22. And Moses was, let's say it together. Moses was learned. I can't hear you, brethren. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in word and the PhD. Moses went as far as they go. He was no man of small means. He finished the curriculum and he excelled. Mighty in word and deed. That means if you're talking about talking, he had the knowledge. And if you're talking about skill, he had the skill. That is what they're telling us. Amen. Next verse. Okay. All right. But when he was a full 40, it came into his heart to visit his brethren. So he moved, He finished the first stage at 40. And he moved into the next stage after that 40. That's what the Bible is telling us, okay? So let's look at the next stage. Acts 7, still Acts 7. Now jump to verse 30 to 34. Let's read it together. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him where? In the wilderness of Mount Sinai, an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire. Where? In a bush. The bush was burning and the bush was not consumed. And Bible says that, we're not turning there for a short time. Bible says, but and Moses turned. If Moses did not turn, God would not have spoken to him. Some of us, we see the bush burning. In what the equivalent of Moses' time. And we're not turning. It's like, it's just normal. You hear things that angels sought to hear. You hear things that saints of old did not understand. Rightly divided. And broke down, and you don't turn. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. We need to turn. Because until you turn, it's an inclination of your heart. You want to take it more seriously. Let me examine this bush. Why it is burning and yet it's not being consumed. How can something be burning and be looking fresher? Even Nebuchadnezzar turned. When he saw four boys, he threw three into the fire and saw four, he got up. It got his attention. And he said, isn't there four people? Confirm this, my eye is playing trick on me. You know, they say, is there four of them? And the fourth one is like the Son of God. And he said, wow, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He turned. Hallelujah. He turned. Because he saw, so the honesty of heart makes you turn. When you are honest, that is this normal? Do I see this every day? Do I hear this kind of thing all over the place? If I don't hear it, then I need to pay a little bit more attention. Particularly our younger people. You know, it's not how popular something is. It's not how widespread it is. It is whether, is this what normally happens everywhere? If it's not what normally happens everywhere, I need to pay attention to it. So I must not take it for granted, even though it's not common. Whether it's common or it's not common, it's a Rolls Royce silver shadow. Is it common? Is it common? But when you sit on the road, we not say, wow. It's like wow. I mean, you say it with reverence. That's why you say it's a bike. You are trying to look for something to describe it. It's majestic. And at the top of it, there's R&R. Rolls Royce. That's for something that is perishing, oh brethren. Talks of something that has eternal value. May God have mercy on us. So in honesty, we need to turn. Amen? All right. Okay, that's revelation. All right? And then, the stage of manifestation, where we begin to accomplish by the glory of God all that God ordained for us to accomplish. Brethren, let me jump ahead of us. Let me just follow the Holy Spirit and not my notes. Followed my notes too many times. Let me just trust the Lord. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Amen. Colossians 3, verse 3. Thank you. I need you to move at the speed of light. Amen. Thank you. Right. Let's start from verse 2. Verse 2. Thank you. Yes. Set your affection where? On things above. And not on things on the earth. Next verse. For you are dead. As the physical side of you. There are two sides to us. There's the physical side. There's the spiritual side. But this physical. That physical side is spiritually dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. So our life is hidden. So if that life doesn't come out to you, you won't know who you are. It's supposed to be hidden for us, not hidden from us. But if we set our affection on natural things, we'll be so naturally minded, it will be hidden from us. Can you imagine that Samson did not know that he was a type of the Christ? If Samson knew that he was a type of the Christ, that he was a shadow for Christ to fulfill, would he not have saved them for longer than 20 years? Would he not have lived a life that was upright in submission and obedience to follow the type of who he really was? But Samson was all about the enjoyment. Brethren, we must be careful. It's about the destination and not about the enjoyment of the ride. Because when you get to the destination, you start a brand new ride. It's a brand new ride where you are, God is now the one driving you around. But until then, you need to focus on the goal and not get distracted. You know, the Bible puts it, in 2 Timothy, it says that be entangled. You know when you entangle something, sometimes I have earphones that have a very long earphones. So sometimes it gets entangled. And you want to use it, and it's like, it's intertwined. It's like, oh God. You're trying to untangle. That's how sometimes the devil wants us to be. He entangles everything. So you don't know where is the part that goes into the phone. I can't find it. The one that is in the, that goes to the air is buried somewhere. And you're trying to untangle. Our lives must not be like that. Entangled in the world. Amen? All right. Thank you. All right. So let's go back to verse 4, Colossians chapter 3, because that's my punchline. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. What are we saying? Our life is hidden in the Word. It's hidden with Christ in the Word. And when Christ shall come, if you are living according to the Word, then the real you, the real me, will suddenly appear. And that's when you know who you are. And that's when every man will have praise of God. Everything before that is preparation. Both spiritual preparation and physical preparation. Amen. So we see that. All right. And in the type of Moses, look at Psalm 105, talking about the manifestation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Psalm 105, verse 26. I won't read everything. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. Next verse. They showed his what? Signs among them. And wonders in land. You are going to show signs and wonders to your generation. That's what Moses did. Next verse. He sent darkness and made it dark. And they rebelled not against his word. It means that they couldn't change it. They tried to change it. They couldn't. The Bible says they rebelled not. They accepted it. It's not that they didn't try. Jannes and Jambres tried, but they couldn't do it. Next verse. He turned their waters into blood. He slew their fish. Jump to 36 till we get to the end. All right? Next, so we don't waste time. 36. He smote also all their firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. He demonstrated the power of God to that generation as manifestation. And that's where we're going. The Moses that was learned and mighty in word and deed could not do this. Bible says every man in his best state is altogether vanity. That's the way the Bible puts it. Okay? All right. So we see that. Now, if you move further down, you see that Joseph, or further up, if you like, because Joseph was before Moses. All right? Joseph is a type of a person, a human being. Of course, Lord Jesus Christ is the type. We have three sections of his own life as well. Jesus from 0 to 12 was preparation. Bible says the baby was born. All right, I'll just give you the reference. You can check it later. He was born in Luke 2:16. The baby was born and he grew. Okay, and in verse 40 to 42, he tells that he began to grow. Let's look at that. Luke 2:40. And the child grew. Thank you. And waxed strong. Where? His spirit. Grew is physical. Waxed strong in spirit is spiritual. We must wax strong in spirit. We must be filled with wisdom. And the grace of God must be upon us, so we must walk in humility. That's what he's saying. Next verse, okay? All right, okay. So we leave that. All right, so we see that's the preparation phase. Then the revelation phase was when he came up and told his parents after they left him behind at the temple. You know, and they looked for him for 3 days. And then he said, Aaron, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? They couldn't understand it. Because as far as they were concerned, they were father and mother to him. But he was already linking up spiritually with God, with the plan that God had. And children, look, that's 11, 12. Amen? So that is the time. You must start early. The earlier we start, the better. Because it's a race against time. And so the earlier we start, the better. But even if we start late, it doesn't matter. God is restoring the years. Amen. But if you have the years ahead of you, start early. That's what God is saying. Amen. Okay. All right. So then Revelation. And then, of course, manifestation. John 2:11, where he goes and turns water into wine. Even he did not expect it. But in submission to authority, in obedience to God, he just spoke the word. The same word that Moses spoke and said, by my word, there will be darkness. And there was darkness. And the Bible says they rebelled not against it. The same I said, you see that because of what you have done now, all of your firstborn are going to die. And nothing's going to happen. I will not let you go. And all the firstborn died. And said, the Bible says, called him in the middle of the night. He said, go, go. Yeah, and the Bible says they spoiled the Egyptians. Amen. So just by the spoken word, fill this water pot. This we could have filled it with water. And then take out to the governor. God did the rest. That's why, you know, brethren, our confidence is in God. It's not in yourself. And that's why our eyes must be on him. Amen? So that, you know, when he says do something, you can do it with faith and expect that he will pick it up at the end. He will not let it fall. Amen? He will not let us be ashamed. The Bible says, they that trust him shall never be put to shame. So if God is telling you to do something, you know, wake up earlier. I know it looks difficult. Try it. Just do it. He will pick you up at the other end. Amen. He's not asking you to do it with your own power. He's going to supply everything we need to make sure it takes us through. Amen. All right. So we see the Lord Jesus there. And of course, Joseph. And another example is Joseph. Joseph, we see 0 to 17 years was preparation in his father's house. Okay? We'll look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter cannot be 3. It must be 30. Must be 37. Or is it? No, it can't be. Maybe 30. You have to check that. 22 to 24. Genesis 30. I think it's 30. Yes, it's 30, 22 to 24. But what he's really saying there was the beginning, Genesis chapter 30, 22 to 24, where he just was giving an introduction and telling us that he was in his father's house and that Jacob loved him more than all his other brothers. Okay, it's not 30, but it must be somewhere there. If you find it, bring it up. But that's not my punchline. Let's just go on. So anyway, we see that. Look at Genesis 37, verse 2 to 5. Verse 2 to 5. Okay. All right. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, sons of Zilpah, his father's wife. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Next verse. And Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Next verse. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all the rest, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Next verse. And Joseph dreamed a dream. Everything up to verse 4 is preparation. Now he says his father loved him because he's the son of his old age, but we see that Joseph was honest. You know, people don't like honest people. You know, honest people show us up. I'm not separating myself from you. Honest people, you know, they have a name they call them. Snitch. Because anything they see, they are going to report as it is. They're not going to add to it. They're not going to take away from it. They're not going to try and deflect, to make somebody, exonerate somebody. They're going to say the way it is. And many times, we don't want to be seen the way we really are. The Bible says that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So anybody who is honest is light. And he exposes darkness. And people don't like them. That's what was happening to him. We see it because he said he brought unto his father their evil report. So there were things they were saying. That's why they didn't like him. So we see that honesty. So in those years of preparation, he was working on his honesty. He was working on his obedience. And then God now came. Because honesty attracts the mercy of God. And God gave him a dream. You know, you can't snatch a dream. It has to be given. It has to be given. You can't snatch it. You can't say, today I will dream a dream. And then you now dream. Once you get into that phase, things are not under your control. That's how it is. That's how some people are having all sorts of funny dreams in the night. And they wake up. Well, dreams they don't want to have. Bad dreams. And they wake up and say, oh, why am I dreaming this? It's not voluntary. It's beyond that realm. Even though there are things you can do about it, but it's beyond that realm. So we see that that dream was a response to something he was doing that his brothers were not doing. Simeon could have had the dream. Levi could have had the dream. Judah could have had the dream. They didn't have the dream because there was something they were not doing. And this is the issue. You know, to be able to get God's kind of dream, you must be honest. Otherwise, you'll be having all sorts of nightmares and you'll be calling them dreams. I want to be a millionaire by 30. Which is on the surface, it's not wrong in the sense that you want to succeed. But to do that, you will not be innocent. If it's not the dream that God gave you, there will be corners you will cut to get that dream. Bible says, he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. So that dream is not a dream. As far as God is concerned, it's a nightmare. So many people have dreams that are not the will of God for them. You know, and they pursue, they live out their dream. And people celebrate them for that dream. But God is saying that you need to keep your eyes on your dream. And know, dream a good dream. Like Jacob, he put his head on stone. And he dreamed a dream. Some people put their head on pillow. In a big bed with air condition, and they can't get the dream that Jacob dreamed. They still can't get the dream that Jacob dreamed. May God have mercy on us. So you see, this thing is given. So there must be something inside, and that's that honesty thing, brethren. Okay, God will have mercy on us. So we see Joseph had that dream, okay, and he had it twice. Even the second one, you know, the daddy had to say, you this boy, meaning my mommy and I will bow to you, sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing to me. And he said, come, I've dreamed another one. Come and hear another one. He was very tactless. All right? Yeah. And how can you be telling everybody your dream like that? Now, I'm not saying with an air of superiority that there's nothing they can do about it. But he's really talking about the fact that if you dream your dream in God and you stay walking with God, it is bound to come to pass. That's confidence that, they removed the roof and Jesus saw faith. No, he was talking about it impudently, but God saw his faith that, Lord, I agree with this dream. I accept this dream. Don't be apologetic about your dream. About our dream to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's our dream, by the way. Amen? But don't be apologetic about it. It's something that you should be telling people, I've dreamed another dream. You know, I'm going to have incredible photographic memory. Incredible mathematical skills. And by the time I'm done, we're going to be doing economic miracles. We're going to be creating something out of nothing. You talk about it confidently. I'm looking, what's he talking about? That's the same reaction of Joseph's brothers. What was he really talking about? Okay, so that's, and we see we now see that Joseph simultaneously, while preparation was going on, he was having revelation at 17. So he dreamed those dreams, and he began to work out. He began to work out that dream. How do you work out the dream so that we don't lose anything as we go on? You begin to walk in obedience. How do you walk in obedience? You begin to walk by the fear of God and the love of God. You begin to put the word of God in your mouth. That's what he did. And in your heart. And as you do it, you begin to live out. That's how he did. So when he was sold into slavery, you know, he was trying to get over the fact that his brothers actually sold him. Then he got into Potiphar's house, you know, and he wasn't disgruntled. He wasn't someone that was bitter. He had put it behind him and was trying to, you know, make progress in love and doing the best that he could in all honesty. And the grace of God was upon him, was obedient to instruction. So Potiphar saw that everything he laid his hands upon to do was prospering because of this boy. He linked it to him. There was a quantum leap transformation from the time Joseph came into Potiphar's house. And Potiphar could not deny it. He also was an honest man. So Potiphar left everything except his wife under him. And he flourished seamlessly. So he knew that this boy was a destiny helper. He didn't call him that, but that's what he was. He was a destiny helper. All right, and when Potiphar's wife framed him and all that, and that's part of why, like Pastor taught, that's part of why he didn't really kill him, because he felt that what he owed him. Because people serve you, but they don't serve you and promote you; their service lifts you up. Thank God, brethren. You know you have the capacity to lift up your boss, lift up your place of work. It is a privilege. Thank you. It's a privilege to lift up that piece of work. Yeah, I know they're not making, they're in the red. Or maybe they have this against them and that against them. But if you stay with your example and you stay with your intercession, you can impact that place. That they can know that, because of this person, we are blessed. The day you go on rotation or you go on one course and come back and say, when you are not away, come and see, our eyes saw when, thank God you are back. They should know the difference. Amen. That's how we should be, brother. That's how we should be. Amen. All right. So we see that, and as time went on, he got to the place of manifestation. So between 17 and 30, he was in the place of revelation. That was, you know, so he was working out the dream. Because when you have a revelation, it will make demand on you. Are you going to follow this revelation to the end? It will make demand on your time. It will make demand on our choices. It will make demand on our friends. It will make demand on where we stay. It's all revelation. It's all revelation. It's all going to affect you. So you cannot have a dream about where God is taking you, and you're going along with people that are not going where you are going, and you are joined. Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? It's not possible. So something is wrong. That dream will be, it will constrain you. The word of God will try you. Bible says, on until his word came, the word of release, the word of deliverance, the word that he had. What was the word? The dream. The dream was a word. God spoke to him, you know, in a dream. So it was God's word. And it was trying him until the word of the king came to deliver him. When he wanted it to come 2 years earlier, it didn't come because the work was not complete. So notice that the dream is not, it has to be given. And then the word that releases you is not coming from you. It's coming from above you. But you have to stay faithful and stay consistent all the way. That's what we learned from Joseph. And then at 30, let's read it in the Bible now. In Genesis 30, hallelujah. Look at Genesis 37. Genesis, yes, 41, verse 46. And it came to pass that at the end of 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed the dream. No, give me 46. 41, 46. Thank you. And Joseph was how many years old? 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh came. And Pharaoh went out from the... And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all Egypt. This is when he had made him prime minister. So he has left the phase of revelation. He's now entered manifestation. Verse 47. He stepped into it. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. So between 30 and 37 was the first 7 years. Between 37 and next 7 years is what? 44 was the next 7 years. So between 30 and 44, his dream came to pass. If you feel it, 37, his brothers came and bowed. And then by the time it was 44, you know, and I know that his father had come over, they too had also bowed. So from 44 to 110, what was he doing? He had fulfilled destiny at 44, brethren. Somebody fulfilled destiny at 44. Not human destiny of becoming a professor and having a grant. Nothing wrong with that, sir. You know, having an international grant, you know, that is affecting the whole world. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the divine one that God gave him. By 44, he had done it. So what was he doing the rest? He was spending his days in prosperity and his years in pleasure. This is available. We must enjoy everything. The scripture must be fulfilled in our experience. That's why God is asking us to look at it and go over it. Okay, so we see. So pastor has taught us this. So we see it. Preparation, revelation, manifestation. So we multiplex is the word pastor used. We multiplex preparation so that we can have more time for manifestation. Our own manifestation is continuous. It's until we go. Hallelujah. And what are we going to be manifesting? Number one. The first is that we must get the glory of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 14. Says that we have been called to the obtaining of the glory. The glory is central. It's not the end though, but it's the trigger. It's the trigger that you know that have changed phase. When Joseph started going into Egypt, he changed phase. He went from a phase of revelation and entered a phase of manifestation. When we get the glory, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord. That's a change of phase. When we get that, phases have changed. Levels, as they say, have changed. Levels have changed. All right? So that level change. How does the level change? You know, because that glory that Adam lost, we get it back. Hallelujah. It's available. And we're going to get it in Jesus' name. And we now begin to do what what is our own manifestation? Look at Matthew 24:14. Matthew 24:14. Quickly. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached where? In all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So we begin to preach and demonstrate the gospel of the kingdom the way Jesus did it. Doing greater works than he did to all nations. Hallelujah. Now, so we are going to, like it says, Matthew 28, we make disciples of all nations, all ethnos. Matthew 28, verse 17 and 18. He says it there as well. Sorry, 18 and 19. Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Yes. And Jesus came and spoke on them, saying, all power, say all power, all power, all power is given unto me where? In heaven and in earth. Next verse. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Next verse. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's making them disciples. And lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. That's the first thing. We invade the nations. Hallelujah. Okay? All right? And in invading the nations, we go to step 2. 1 John 3:8. We destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, you and I were manifest with the glory, that we might destroy the works of the devil. So we're going to destroy sickness, poverty, child trafficking, sexual trafficking, and all these abhorrent views, and using rainbow that God gave us as a sign of his covenant, using it to depict themselves. I want to turn all those things back upside down. It's upside down now. We'll turn it right side up. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, we're going to advance and invade and take over all those things. You know, and turn it around. Because that's how Charles Wesley and Father Nash, you know, staying in one room and praying. People were repenting in the beer parlor. Prostitute brothels were closing down. And so it's going to happen in our own time. Yea, greater. Hallelujah. Amen. That is our manifestation. We need to have the picture of our manifestation. Right? Hebrews 6:5. We're going to bring to come to pass in our age the power of the ages to come. What is supposed to be in the millennial reign? We will, like we say in Nigeria, it's not correct English, we'll fast forward this. We'll forward it. We'll bring it forward and enjoy it while we are here, so that we create and simulate the condition of the millennium while you're here. Look at Isaiah 65, verse 17. This is our own manifestation. Thank you. Now move to Isaiah 65. Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. He's talking about two things: creating the eternal kingdom of God, and then also creating an atmosphere where the heavens and the earth now respond to the parent power of God, and not the power of sin and iniquity that Satan has put it under. Next verse. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. It's talking about present tense. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. It's a present tense thing. God creates Jerusalem a rejoicing. So we become God men. Instead of men that have God, we become God that are in the body of men. Amen. All right, that's what he's talking about creating. Next verse. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and join my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. We simulate it where we are by the power of the Holy Spirit. Next verse. Then shall there be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old. That's what obtains in the millennium. Children are people that live 100 years. Because there will be people living normal, natural lives. That's not your portion in Jesus' name. You will be living a glorified life by that time. You will be operating in a glorified body. But for people that are living a natural life, in that time, if somebody dies 100, it's a child. You can imagine. So we go back to 600. 700. We go back to where, how it was in the beginning. Because the glory has come back. Amen. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Next verse. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. God is not saying we should not enjoy physical things. Just saying that we should not make them our priority. But he certainly puts premium on them. Amen. Next verse. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. Say amen. For as the days of a tree are, the days of my people, and mine elect shall long, as long as you can hold your breath, long enjoy the work of their hands. Amen. Verse 23. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. We are our seed. Amen. Next verse. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Last verse. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. Have you seen lions eating straw? We're going to see new biology. We'll rewrite the biology books. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And there will be scientific explanations, but we know that it is from the parent force of divine life. We will simulate it on earth for a period of time while we are here. That's our manifestation. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what God is. That's what God is saying. And we will fulfill Deuteronomy 28:1-14. Blessed going out, blessed coming in, your storehouses, head and not tail. Those scriptures must be. We're not going anywhere until they're fulfilled. Amen. And we're going to do it in style. And finally, we fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles by making multitudes of disciples in all nations. We experience the rapture. And once we experience the rapture, the age will close and we move over to the age of tribulation. That's our glory. So we continue our manifestation. We invade the nations to demonstrate the kingdom and get souls, harvest of souls of the nations. We destroy the works of the devil, deliver creation from the bondage of corruption. We bring the power of the ages to come into manifestation so that that power of God is prevalent in the atmosphere, and we turn things back that Satan had put there for hundreds of centuries. We turn it back. People now see there's a new heavens. The Bible says, I create a new heavens and a new earth. It's not the physical creation. It's like the essence and the life source changes. So you have a lion that is not behaving like a lion. It is eating grass. You have a wolf and the lamb. Why won't the lion and the lamb are together in Christ? Amen. Lion and lamb are together. And that parent force is working in you and I. And that's the force that now begins to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue, and have dominion. So is that, I'm not talking prior, I'm telling you what God is planning for you and I. So it's going to, the same way it was coming from Adam and was sustaining the initial creation, and when he sinned, it got corrupted. It's the same way. Notice that Satan is the one doing it, but when we take it back, because we have the authority, and when we now back it with the power and we take it back, we begin to give that life, the new life source, back to creation. And creation ends up like this. That's the will of God. Amen. And then we now go home in a blaze of glory, having preached to everybody so that God can be justified. That there is nobody that he did not give an opportunity to. Everybody that was in bondage, we set them free. That wants to be set free, we set them free. No, and we demonstrate and let the glory of God cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And we've done our job. That's what we're living for. Being a professor of history cannot help you do that. Being a multi-billionaire is not going to help you do this. This is not money. This is glory. Glory is the currency here. Amen. That's what God is saying. All right, so we see, and there's a big distinction between what we do and who we are. We already said that, you know. And Lord Jesus asked two questions. Look at Matthew 16, verse 13 and verse 15. Let's look at verse 13. And when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Next verse. No, give me verse 15 now. He said, but who do you say that I am? So there are two things. Now, if you look at what, when he asked that question in verse 13, if you look at verse 14, they said, some said it was Moses, some said it was Jeremiah, some said it was a prophet, you know, Elijah, not Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, you know. But he now asks, who do you say? And we know the story that Peter came out and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he told him, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. So it means that who you are has to be revealed to you by God. There is something men will say about you, but you must allow only what God says about you to enter into your heart and believe that. That's what we're saying Okay? All right? So God revealed his true identity by revelation knowledge. All right? And we've mentioned this, so. But an important point to mention is this. Somebody who argues cases in court on behalf of clients is who? Is a lawyer. Okay? Somebody who watches over your stock and makes sure that, you know, you your stock doesn't go down and all that. Is a what? Is stockbroker. Okay? But that's what they do. That's not who they are. All right? Now, what I want to bring out now for us to see is that you can make an impact on your generation by being very good at what you do. As a teacher can make great impact on a child's life. Their mindset, their worldview, you know, how they see, what they like, what they don't like. The teacher is a model for the child. But can you imagine the impact Moses made or would have made on Egypt by building the pyramids, as compared to the impact he made on the whole world by bringing the children of Israel out after disciplining Egypt? You can't compare. So we're talking about impact and greater eternal lasting impact with reward. With eternal reward. One impact is temporal. And for that, people will build a bust. They will celebrate your birthday every year by taking advert in the paper. It's temporal. You are gone. We're just trying to remind ourselves and be counting your birthday as if you are still alive. We are deluding ourselves. It's the truth. I mean, I understand that they it's out of love, you know, but the person is gone. The clock has stopped ticking. You don't have any power to be counting when God has stopped counting. God has stopped counting and you are still counting your own. It doesn't make any sense. But it's out of emotion and sentiment. But what are we saying? The one where Bible says that Abel, that his blood was yet speaking. Even when he was dead. Because he wasn't dead. There was just a transition. So as far as God was concerned, anytime God looks at what he did, it's like, son, I really, really appreciate how you honored me and how you obeyed me and how you did it unto death. I can't wait to see your reward. That's what God is saying. As opposed to some other people where they are not living, they are dying. Bible says their worm dieth not. That's not our destination. But we must let ourselves know that we cannot afford to allow the enjoyment of this present world to take us away from the destination of the glory that and the reward that God has for us. So why is this important? Well, because it's important that an example here is the example of John the Baptist. Jesus said, "What went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there are not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." John the Baptist did no miracle. He did great things though, but he did no miracle. How would it have been if he did miracles? Wouldn't that be more impact? Pastor was talking about on Sunday. Works of faith with power by the Spirit without measure. And then on top of that, now in eternity, still be with Jesus. Imagine the reward. That's where we are going. Amen? Because we are going to follow until the end. So God's using that as an example for us. So don't let this notion that, oh, but no, they trained me. God, they didn't train you. God trained you. Your parents, yes, your parents trained you. But the person who gave you breath while they were training you, what does he get? What does he get? He's the one that kept them alive to be able to do what they did. So who do you owe? Because sometimes the devil comes with those arguments. You know, I owe this person, I owe that person. It's as if all, because sometimes the devil tells you it's all going to waste. It's not going to waste. It's not going to waste. Moses still used that training. But it's important to you to fulfill destiny. With the revelation that you have and the preparation to fulfill destiny than to go the way of just living a normal life, as it were, where revelation doesn't have any impact on our choices, our actions, our lifestyle, the people we work with, etc., etc. All right, so as we begin to round up now, why is this important? Colossians 1, chapter 26 to 28. Give it to me in the Message Bible, please. Let's read this together. Colossians 1. This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time. That's why people don't know. But now it's out in the open. Next verse. God wanted everyone, I can't hear you, brethren, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery in a nutshell is just this: Christ in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. Is that simple? That is the substance of our message. Isn't it very clear? Thank God. That's the substance of our message. Next verse. Next verse. We preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense so that we can bring each person to maturity. To be mature is to be basic. Christ, no more, no less. Maturity is where we start from. So we need to hurry and get into maturity. Amen. How do we get into maturity? Ephesians 6, Ephesians 4, verse 16. This is how we hurry. Pastor Dave really broke it down on Sunday. You know, so but just looking at the notion. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's about you, a part, working with everybody else with whom we have contact with through joints. So that through each joint, every joint can be supplying life to the body. So we make sure that we clean as frequently as we should. We speak as frequently as we should. We pray in tongues as frequently as we should. And when we do that, we make sure that every relationship, every joint, there is a net positive release of life. Amen. There is no joint sucking life. Even if it's sucking life, it's sucking life so that it can begin to stand on its own and then begin to give life. And then the whole body begins to grow to attain its full potential. That's what God is saying. Amen. All right, so we see that that's what God. So it doesn't matter what we do. Jesus was a carpenter. Elisha was a nomad. David was a shepherd boy. Peter was a fisherman. But there was so much more. There was so much more to them that if you looked at them on the surface, you will miss. You will miss them. Do you know who your fathers are? Do you know who our fathers are in the spirit? I know that they may. Like Jesus asked. I'm asking us now, who are your spiritual parents? Who is Pastor Ruby? Who's Mommy Sarah? You know, God must reveal it to you. There is only so far you will go in your dedication and your commitment. That until you see them the way God sees them. There was a time that Pastor Wega shared the scripture, you know, and it really, really blessed me, you know. But by the grace of God, God has now showed me, you know, from other scriptures, but this was one scripture that he really showed. Look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Stop. He was saying that God revealed to him that this is Mommy Sarah. Now, you can take it or you can leave it. In my own case, I took it. Because that woman is clothed with the Son, so she's under authority. Amen. All right. The Bible talks about the sun and the moon. Amen. All right. And the moon under her feet, and upon her head, a crown of 12 stars, divine government. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain. Is that not what she does every morning? For years. Even before we started Good Morning Jesus, she has been doing it. It was that led her to this Good Morning Jesus. So when I'm giving you an example of when you say, who are your parents? You need to know. When you see, when you read the book of Esther, and you see Mordecai did this, signet ring, Esther, you need to see, it's your spiritual parents there. Because they are doing the equivalent. What's the equivalent? You write letter that these people shall be loosed, and they are loosed. You write letter that they are free, and they are free. That is, you write means, you know, it says, son of man, write. Bible says, I will write my law upon their heart. So what he's saying is that he preaches the word that you cannot forget. It goes into your DNA spiritually. And it begins to change from inside out. And you're just a standard, even when you have left scripture pastor, like some people have left. Eh? You know, even where they go, they still head and shoulders above everybody else. Why? It's because something was written upon their heart. It's important to know. It's important to know. It's important to know. So that you can, you know, when you read it, you know, you begin to see the scriptures come alive. And then it's not just this thing is a faith thing. You know, if you are honest, you will see it. Just like the dream thing we said about Joseph. If you are honest, you will see it. But if it's, when I say honest now, I mean, if you stay honest, because I'm not saying, because if you have not seen it, it's just a function of growth. You know, the more you grow, the more you see. The more you grow, you begin to see. Then the Bible talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. That Joshua anointing is there. The Bible says in Esther chapter 10, you know, Bible says they were next unto the king. Amen. Speaking peace to all of their seed, seeking the wealth of their people. No. Once you see somebody, don't they seek our wealth? Don't they seek what is going to make you a better person, going to make you prosperous, give you a better end? That's they fulfill it. They fulfill it. Jesus Christ said this. He said, "Don't believe me, but the works I do." If I'm not doing the work, then don't believe me. Find it for me if you can, please. It just came into my heart by the Spirit. But the works I do, they are the ones I'm not seeking approval from John. No. But the works I do, they are the ones that vindicate me. If they are doing things in your life, but I have greater witness. Thank you. I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father had given me to finish, the same works I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So if they do the work, put the label on it. Simple. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm not calling myself anything. If I do the work, let it speak to you in your heart. But for me, I won't call myself anything. I call myself son of man. You can call it whatever you want. Amen. But if you are honest, you will call it what it is. This is the Messiah. So the ordinary people said, is this not the Messiah? What else would the Messiah do? Because they are using words, because it's who you are that determines what you can do. It's not what you do that determines who you are. It is who you are. If you can finish those works, that means that God began the work and then you did the physical manifestation. God had worked in us both to will and to do. Amen. If you can receive it, receive it. Amen. All right, but That's the will of God, all right? That's what God wants to do, okay? So it's important for us to understand that that's who we are, okay? Number two, discern correctly those in authority over us. By give the example of Samuel, as I begin to rush through, you know, they were going to anoint the king, and he looked, even the prophet, telling you that, you know, he looked and said, surely, just thought it in his heart. And God said, look not unto his countenance, nor the height of his stature, because I refused him, For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Very important. Naaman the Syrian thought that the prophet, they told him that he's a prophet. But you know, he was just he's an ordinary man. From where he's coming from, he's an ordinary man. So when he said, go and bath in the Jordan 7 times, he was angry. He was angry. But 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 10. But by the time he came out, yes, 15. Thank you. 15. And he returned to the man of God. We're talking about judging a man by the works that they have accomplished. You know, that he and all his community came and stood before him and he said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray you take a blessing of your servant. He came to understand that this man, he's a man of God. And that's what God is doing. The world is going to know that we are people of God. We're not glorifying ourselves. We're glorifying God. Now, glory will ultimately come to you because look at Daniel chapter 3, verse 28 to 30. Daniel 3. Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servant that trusted me and have changed the king's word. He accepted that they changed his word. They did not rebel. That's what he says when he said they didn't rebel against the word of the king. He accepted that they changed his word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their God. We also must yield our bodies. Amen. Next verse 30. And the king promoted Shadrach. The initial thing was God. The first one was God. And then naturally, please stay near me. So that I can always have benefit of your wisdom. That's the will of God for us. Amen. So God's going to lift us up, but it's as we lift him up. Our focus is on lifting him up. Amen. All right. And as we lift him up, he will also lift up. But it's important also to also ask this question. The people around you, who are they to you? Who is your husband to you? It's a very important question. Who is your wife to you? Have you seen them in the Bible? I know you live with them every day. Who are your children to you? We must stop thinking physical. The physical side is there, but the spiritual side is also there. And we must dig enough to find out. If we don't know, then ask God. Yes. You must know things concerning them, because how can you help somebody fulfill something that you don't know about them? We are supposed to help each other eat of the tree of life so we can fulfill what God has written of us in the volume of the book. So we need to know. It's important to know. It's not just enough. We should not be so tripped when they're doing well. Thank God because our children do well. And that's my own testimony with our children that I know. And all the ones that I know, they always do well by the mercy and grace. And I think it's the life of God upon the house. Amen. Let's give God a super clap offering and the covering of our fathers. Hallelujah. They always do well. But brethren, let's put that aside. Let's put that aside. And let's begin to shine the light for them to see that, look, there's more to your life than this. There's more to you than this. And you need to understand that this is part and parcel. This is more important than this. And you need to follow this to the end. So that they get on that path of destiny. So that Isaiah 59, that last verse can come. That the words he has put in our mouth and the spirit that is upon us will not depart from our seed and our seed. Because they see what we're seeing. You can't run on somebody else's vision. So we must see, and then we must help them to see. That's the will of God. Amen. That's knowing who we are. Amen. All right. And don't worry, when the crowd wants to define you, like Matthew 13, 54 to 57, where Jesus did miracles, you know, in his hometown in Nazareth. And the Bible says, who is he? Is not Jesus the carpenter? Is not his sisters here with us? When they say, maybe he's just ordinary, maybe he's cool. Don't we know him? We know him now. His family, no, we know where they come from. We know he's studied in this place. I beg. You keep going on. Jesus didn't let that deter him. That's why it's important to know who we are and keep looking for to God through the word, because that's where our life is hidden. It's hidden with Christ in God. So each time God will bring something out. You know, Apostle Paul, he went through so much. Now he got to a point where, God appeared to him and told him, relax. You are going to get to Rome. 40 men bound themselves in an oath that they were going to kill him. And after they kill him, then whatever the punishment, they are ready to serve. Can you imagine that? You know, but God leaked the plan. But, you know, but the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, there was so much opposition. Even when he was going to the room, they went to a shipwrecked. No, Euroclidon. Just so that he must not, God told him, relax. You're going to get to that place. The circumstances were all negative. But brethren, the positivity is coming from God. And God's yes is more than the devil's no. You're going to make it to the end. We're going to make it into the glory. Amen. If there's anything God has asked us that we're going to get, we're going to obtain it. Because his yes is bigger than their no. But we must not be looking outside. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at things that are not seen through the word. That's why it's important to read and study the word. Amen. So how do we do it? We've already mentioned a lot of it, so just round up. We start seeking God early. Remember thy creator in the days of your youth. When the evil days come not. When there's no responsibility. When you don't, your time is not, you know, sometimes no. As people that are married, you know what I mean. When you wake up, of course you have time for God, but come to a certain time, your time is not your own again. The children have to get to school. Your prayer is not going to do that. You have to stop praying. Amen. They have to eat food. That's not going to happen. You're not going to say, angels, get us food. What do you want? Pancake. Pancakes. No. Sorry? But you have to. They have to have both. Have to have their bath. So your time is not your. But when you are single and you are very young, you don't have all that. You may not think it's something. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It is the time for you to do what you need to do, and you will finish doing it. So tithe your time. Tithe your time. We tithe our time. You know, the principle is in the Bible. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto God what is God. Give God his time. So, 2.4 hours. No, of course, you cannot do all that. We grow into it. We grow into it. But let's say, at a certain level, 15 minutes is what God expects of you. But as you grow up, and you get into certain classes, certain ages, God begins to say, 1 hour is now your target. Amen. And then you, apart from one, that 1 hour is good morning, Jesus. Then God says, well, 1.5. After good morning, Jesus, you will still do some more. Then after a while, you get to 2 hours. Then 2.5. Then that one is just tight, oh, tight, tight, tight. There is offering. You didn't say amen, brethren. you must give offering. You know what I mean? You are only going to be giving God tithe. Should God respond in kind? He's not going to respond in kind in Jesus' name. Our God is merciful. But brethren, you must give tithe and offering. As you grow, the more you grow, the more you give. The more you grow, the more you give. The more you grow, the more you give. That's love. That's love. And it begins to show in how you live. In the secret, but it comes out openly. Amen? But we grow into it. But we stay. So we start seeking God only. 2, recognize spiritual fathers. And submit to them. That's very important. To know who you are. You know, it was Jeremiah in verse 1. You know, and he said, I cannot do this. God said, I have ordained you a prophet to the nations. Verse 5 to 6. He said, I cannot speak. God said, don't say that. Who was born that created the mouth? That's not a problem at all. Just accept what I said that you are going to be. That's what God is saying to us today. Accept what I said you are going to be. Accept who I said you are, and you will become it. You will grow into it. Amen. Don't operate with understanding. Operate by faith. Amen. All right. And it will change. Okay. And once you accept what God says, you find that you get more favor. The Bible says when Jeremiah said, God asked him, what do you see? He stopped seeing that. He said, I see the word of Almighty. I said, you have well seen. That means grace is going to back what you see now. Amen. That was a beautiful amen. Grace is going to back what you see if it's in line with the word of God. And you become unstoppable. Because that grace is working. It's between us and God. You know? All right? All right? Now, so what do we want to see? As we tithe our time, we want to see, seek God. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. Mommy shared this with us. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11, as we begin to round up. Okay. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Amen. All right. So God is saying that. No. So we take time. When we tithe our time, we are tithing our time to seek God. You're not just joining Good Morning Jesus prayer. You are joining it because you are seeking God. You know. Look at John chapter 8, verse 29. John 8, 29. Lord Jesus said this. Says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So you make seeking and pleasing him, that's your focus for the day. You want to please him in the place of prayer. When you want to please him, you won't sleep. At least, even if the sleep is disturbing, you fight it. And if you fall and you slept, then next day you wake up and one day you will not sleep. Because that's how it is, you know, you grow in it. All right? So we seek God. How do we seek God in order to please Him? We pray for the fear of God. That's honesty and humility. All right? No, we pray for that. That's something we already do. I choose to fear God. We pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The service, but that's really at the candlestick. You know, we begin to go in deeper. We pray for the fruit of the Spirit. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. These are things we know already. You know, pray at least 4 times a day. Then pray at every opportunity and in every temptation. We pray. Then we pray in the Spirit and we travail. Pray in tongues and we travail in the Spirit with an abundance of the life of God in our hearts. That gives power. So everything we're asked to do, we just do it. We do those prayers, but we do it with a motive to seek God so we can please Him. Amen. All right. And we submit to authority of spiritual fathers. And then we daily read our Bibles. Daily. And then you take notes in church and study them. That's where Bible study begins. You begin by chewing what somebody else gave you. That's how you begin. And then God begins to, then from there, God will now take you off. I'm going to tell you, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? But that's where you start from. So if you don't take notes, you're shooting yourself in the foot because it's not going to start. You know, how can you, until you pass the exam, no. I know when we were in school, they would teach us medicine one. There's the first medicine posting that you ever do. We call it medicine one. Then there's medicine two, which is specialist medicine. Then there's medicine three, which is your final posting. They teach you things. But by the time we come to some meetings, they name some reflexes after some of our professors. They have discovered reflexes that were not in the textbook. They have discovered, so they call this I don't want to really mention any names, but they call this so-so-so-so's equation. So-so-so-so's this. How come? Because the person has done everything that was known. First of all, you start with the known, then by doing it over and over and over again, he spotted that this is a special reflex. And he published it, and then they said, we've never seen before. They called it by his name. That's human beings. That's physically speaking. Now, talking spiritually now, if you go through the grill and you accept and submit to what the fathers are teaching, God begins to talk to you direct. Give your own revelation. Until you are faithful in another man's, you cannot have your own. You need to be faithful in another man's. That's why we take notes. So this incredible photographic memory that some of us have now, in Jesus' name we have life. Depend on the piece of paper a bit, you know, for now. And note the scriptures, if nothing else, because that's where it comes from. And go over them. Read your Bible. Those are the keys with which you are able to unlock your Bible reading. And then that same thing, you don't just that word. If you substitute the meaning of what God gave you, you know, through the man of God, in what you are reading, you get a brand new expression. And then it excites you. And then you are off. God begins to talk to you from the word of God. Amen. And that's how we know who we are. And God will have mercy on us. Okay? And of course, finally, you practice love and forgiveness daily with growing diligence. You have to walk in love and forgiveness and mercy. You know, mercy, particularly at the thought level. Lord, have mercy on me. But we grow in proficiency. The first thing is to be faithful with your mouth. When you have to be faithful with your mouth, when you're faithful with your mouth, then you can be faithful with your thoughts. But if you're not faithful with your mouth to say the confession, Deuteronomy 30, 11 to 14, you're not faithful with praying in the spirit, where are you going to get your thoughts? No. God gave us the earnest so that we can use the earnest effectively to prepare us for the fullness. Let us pray. Talk to God. Let's talk to God in our hearts. Knowing who we are. Once we know who we are, nobody can hold you down again. Nobody could persuade Joseph that dream wasn't going to come to pass. Honesty, the fear of God, humility, do what God asks us to do. And God begins to speak to us through his word, using the keys of revelation knowledge given to us by spiritual fathers. Just accepting, Lord, I believe, like I said, it's nothing new, but it's just an inner awakening. Things of thee are spoken, Zion city of our God, he whose word cannot be broken from thee for his own. Let's take the third stanza.
Savior of Zion, see.
I through grace,
a member am. Let the world deride of me.
I will glory
in thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure. All is most above and sure.
Solid joys
and lasting treasures, none but Zion's children know.
Next stanza.
See the streams of living waters springing from eternal love. Well supply thy sons and daughters, bread all fear of want remove. Who can faint while such a river ever flows, a thirst to the sea? Grace which like the love the giver never fails from age to
and the last one. We don't have the last one. All right, let's pray. Let's just pray. Just talk to God in our hearts. Let's lift up our right hand to God and left hand on our hearts. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to us today. Thank you for making me a part of glorious Zion, that city of the firstborn, of whom I am a member by your grace. So Heavenly Father, I ask for mercy. Help me to practice praying consistently for the fear of God, praying for revelation knowledge, praying for the fruit of the Spirit, praying, Lord, to in the Spirit, with tongues, with travail, with a heart full of life, so that your life will grow in me in measure after measure, so that I will inherit the Spirit without measure. And Heavenly Father, you will enable me to use that Spirit without measure, that glory, to establish your covenant and your word upon the earth. Have mercy on me. Help me to be faithful, O God. I lift up the hands that hang down. I strengthen the feeble knees. And I press toward the mark, to this purpose, this goal that you have set before us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Rabakako shenge de bebedikana. Range de bebedikaka de babosota. Rabba bange de bebedia. Rabba katote. Shenge de bebesa. Robo bake koma. Robo sate. Bange de bebedia. Robakos. Meka de bebedia. Robba papa papa kotebesa. Seke de bebedia. Rabba bako tele. Shenge de bebedia. Mako banke kele bebeto. Rabba kosede. Jefe kele. Robo bakato. Mengariga, Robert Tato, Zepre,
Beria, Baco, Jeprekeko, Kende Beridobo Soto, Benedemento Topa, Robocoto Bene, Robobaca Bene, Jekene, Robo, Mangelebea, Jekenebe Benico Levata, Pie, Meco Pare, Robosa, Sekenevata, Gronga de Benica de Bobasa. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the word has gone forth, brethren, let's in faith keep our faith in. If you have a need, the Bible says that the power of God was present to heal, it's present to deliver. Let's just ask God for mercy, receive the blood and the life, and speak it by faith. As we believe, so do we speak and receive it. Heavenly Father, under covering of our fathers, Lord God, as your word has gone forth, thank you, Father, because as we seek first the kingdom, all other things are added. Lord, everything that, Lord, is there, we are trusting for, Lord, with our hands raised up, anybody that has a need, just lift up that hand. With our hands raised up, Father, we come to declare, Lord, that we receive, Lord, as we have believed in the name of Jesus. Father, we bind every spirit, every force that is opposing the manifestation of this which we have spoken. And we say, be it unto us according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.